Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Good morning. I have two readings to give you today. The first one, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 to 4, and the second, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. The second, Matthew. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we pray and talk to you because we want to know your thoughts. We want to be led and guided by your Spirit. And I pray that through the word this morning, we would hear you, we would encounter you, speaking to us and encouraging us and knowing how we should act. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, when I was in my early teens, I had a preoccupation with food. It wasn't that I was from a poor family. And it wasn't that we lived in a place where it was hard to get food. I just had this really, really, really fast metabolism and an appetite to match it. You know, if I was to decide on going away to a camp, I wasn't deciding on purely on whether I would have fun or not. I would actually think about the camp and think, would there be enough food there? I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only teenager, though, who's been hungry and thirsty throughout their teenage years. I'm sure there's a few people here this morning who are actually thinking about food right now. Is there enough food out there in the hall to feed me? Often we can think about hunger and thirst, though, in a negative way. And not just when you're in your middle age, as you know, you're just passing the bakery, looking in the cake window, actually puts on weight for some amazing, I don't know how that happens. But even in those teenage years, I was actually annoyed about being hungry all the time. But as we've sort of seen on the Mentimeter today, hunger is actually a good thing. Imagine if you never felt hungry. If you didn't have an appetite and feel hungry or parched, then you wouldn't eat and you wouldn't drink and you wouldn't last very long, would you? You'd get really malnourished quickly and eventually you would die. And so in this beatitude that we heard today, that we're looking at today, Jesus also talks about hunger and thirst being good things, being necessary desires, because what they do is actually lead to being filled, being satisfied. Most of us here, we don't have an appetite issue, do we? Well, we're good at hungering and thirsting and wanting to be filled. But how this is achieved, though, is where we often struggle. And I'm not just talking about food now. I'm talking about hunger and thirsting for deeper things in life. And so in many ways, we've actually become a really materialistic people. In fact, I think we're probably the most materialistic people in history. I don't mean that we just want to buy stuff. Actually, we're highly materialistic because we actually believe that we can be satisfied and we can be filled by the things that we create and the things that we buy and by the things that we do each day through the week. We actually believe that those things will ultimately fill us. And this might seem like just a modern issue. You might think, oh, well, you know, these are the year. This is the year 2000. But I think it's actually an old issue as well. I know it's an old issue, but I reckon that we've actually perfected it. But in the Bible, we actually read that Satan tried to tempt Jesus to satisfy, that he tried to tempt Jesus to satisfy his hunger himself when he was actually out there in the wilderness fasting and praying. Satan came to Jesus while he was hungry and he said to him, turn these stones into bread so that you can be filled. But Jesus refused Satan. And he quoted scripture at him and said, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so the temptation for Jesus, it wasn't feeling hungry, that wasn't the issue, and thirsty, but the temptation was the suggestion that he could actually fill himself, that he could satisfy himself. And I believe that that's our temptation as well today, as we're constantly tempted to satisfy and fill ourselves with material things and by our own efforts. And so today people try to satisfy their hunger and they quench their thirst by pursuing things that were actually never meant to satisfy and fill us. People seek to find satisfaction through a dream job or a career, or even just through work. But jobs end. Great bosses leave, working environments change, companies close down, and eventually, guess what? You retire. Some people look to satisfy themselves through particular lifestyles. They pursue travel, entertainment, hobbies, sport as ways of finding ultimate fulfillment, and they pour themselves into those things. And it's great. It's great to have fun. It's great to be entertained. But ultimately, those things won't fill or satisfy us because they're actually never meant to carry the weight of those expectations. Even a relationship. And you might think, well, surely a relationship should really satisfy. But it can't actually satisfy us ultimately. It's not able to fully meet our needs. And don't hear me correctly. I'm not saying that the marriage, you know, is bad. I'm saying marriage is great. But if you think that it will complete you, as we're told in Jerry Maguire, then you'll be surely disappointed. This is because all people have issues, don't they? Even our choice partner has issues. They make poor decisions. They have bad habits, as you do, and as I do. People also get sick. Some people get chronically sick. And one day, one of you in that relationship will die, and leaving the other person alone. And so if you've invested all of your hope for being filled in that person, then that day will surely be more devastating by that loss. I'm not trying to be hard, I'm not trying to be cruel, I'm not trying to be flippant here. The reason we don't find what we're looking for, though, in material things of the world is that we weren't designed that way. King Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's a favourite one of ours here at Mooney Ponds, isn't it? He says, God has set eternity in the human heart. What he means by this is that God has placed a hunger and a thirst in people that can actually only be satisfied by God. The great Christian theologian Augustine said a similar thing when he said, as he was reflecting on our need for God, he said, you have made us for yourself and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Isn't that a truth? And he knew what he was talking about. He had a restless heart, but he couldn't fill it with the things of this world. Because like Solomon, he'd tried sex, he'd tried pleasure seeking, he'd tried giving himself over to great learning to fill his longings, his deep longings within him, but actually none of them helped. And so what Augustine and what Solomon are saying is that we all have deep longings, we all have hungers and thirsts, but whatever you use to try and fill those, to satisfy those, they're actually pointing to a deeper hunger and a thirst that you have, and that hunger and that thirst is really for God. It's really for God. And so the good news for us today is that Jesus speaks directly to this issue of hungering and thirsting in the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells his followers how they can be filled, which is really a blessing that all of us want to experience, don't we? And at first glance, Jesus' statement, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled," it sort of appears to us, though, to be contradictory, doesn't it? I mean, it actually mentions two sets of things that we don't usually put together. We don't usually think of being hungry and thirsty and being filled at the same time. We either think of one or the other, don't we? You don't say, "Oh, I'm full," and think, "Where's the food?" But Jesus is saying here that we need to be hungry and thirsty. Hunger and thirst are good. Hunger and thirst are good. They're good traits because they can lead to being blessed if we seek to be filled by the right things. And so Israel discovered how important hunger and thirst were for their own development after they left Egypt, where they'd been kept as slaves for about 400 years. So to get Israel out of Egypt, God did some amazing things. He did some amazing signs to force Pharaoh's hand. And some of you are probably familiar with those that are found in the book of Exodus there. Those 10 plagues. You've seen the Pixar movie. The 10 plagues that convinced Pharaoh that he shouldn't resist God and that he should actually let them go and worship him in the desert. But after Israel actually left Egypt, and the heady excitement of all the miracles that God did to actually get them out of Egypt had passed, then the reality of the long desert journey to the promised land really set in. They began to complain about their lack of food and drink for the journey. And they began to experience hunger and thirst for the very first time in their lives. And they didn't know what to do about it. You see, even at the start of their journey, they were still living off the food that they'd taken from Egypt. They'd left Egypt physically, but not emotionally or spiritually. They were still there in their head. But there is only so much food that you can carry, isn't there? And so once that food ran out for them, they began to feel hungry and they began to feel thirsty. And this began to really show in their lives where their hope was. At first, they blamed their leaders. That's not common, is it? First, they blamed Moses and Aaron. And this was one of those really weird rants. It was like, "Well, we prefer to be well-fed slaves rather than hungry free people." Really? All they could think about, though, was the food they enjoyed when they lived in Egypt. At one point, they complained, saying, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic." I mean, they were just visualizing those things. They could probably taste them and smell them. They longed for the good old days, which were not really that good. I mean, they needed to face some facts. They were deluded. You see, they had actually been slaves in Egypt, and so they'd been living basically in this giant concentration camp, and the food that they said cost nothing was actually slave rations, really. And so this This is a sort of a strange story as we read it, because God seems to put a lot of effort into getting his people out of Egypt, while at the same time he seems to have forgotten to tell them to bring enough food for the journey. Instead, he allows them to feel hunger and thirst. And so we've got to ask ourselves, why would God do that? And Moses tells us the reason. He says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Israel had a long journey ahead of them to the promised land, and God knew that they would only make it if they learned that by hungering and thirsting for him, they would be filled. And so we're often tempted to think that we can live by bread alone as well, aren't we? We think that we can live by what we supply ourselves, what we create, what we carve out of the world for ourselves, and by what we do in life. We think, oh, these things will satisfy me. That's why we pour ourselves into them. We're tempted to meet our deep longings through work, careers, through relationships, through lifestyles, through grand designed houses, through identities we create for ourselves, for other material things that we buy. But from what we've heard, none of these things will actually do the job. So if we're not going to be satisfied these things, what will truly satisfy us? What will truly fill us? And how can we be filled? And so Jesus tells us that hungering and thirsting for righteousness will fill us. And so it's tempting to jump to conclusions about what Jesus means by righteousness, because we hear that word a lot. But we hear there are actually different aspects of righteousness in the Bible. And so, for instance, righteousness is talked a lot about by Paul. And he says that sinful people are made righteous, made right through what Jesus did on the cross. And so we receive Jesus' righteousness when we trust in him and what he did to make peace between us and God possible. And so that's actually a righteousness that everyone needs, to be at peace with God. But this type of righteousness is not what Jesus is actually focusing on here in this beatitude. Because the righteousness that Paul was talking about is actually delivered once. And it's delivered completely to you when you put your faith in Christ. And so there's no longer a need to go on hungering and thirsting for that. So what's Jesus talking about? What's the righteousness that Jesus is talking about that we should be hungry and thirsting for? What Jesus means here by righteousness is by the righteousness that will actually fill you is a life that is pleasing to God. And so a life that's characterized by the qualities and the characteristics that please God, that are actually fully seen in Jesus, that's what we're to hunger and thirst for. He's not talking about doing religious things. He's not talking about coming to church. He's not talking about doing rituals or activities. Rather, a life that is pleasing to God is characterized by the desire to please God with your whole self, with your whole being, everything about you. Not because you're afraid of God or because you fear getting punished, but because the life that you see in Jesus, you see, his character, his qualities, his attitudes, they seem to be the most beautiful, attractive and fulfilling things, the most attractive and fulfilling life. And you want that life for yourself. In my teenage years, I went to a youth camp in the Adelaide Hills. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't from a Christian family. And I went to have a lot of fun and a lot of food. I made sure there was going to be food. And it was a horse riding camp, and it was good fun. But each day at the camp, someone told us stories from the Bible told us about the life of Jesus, told us about Jesus. And it annoyed me. I'd heard about Jesus because I wanted to be out there having more fun. At first it had sort of annoyed me. But then as the stories were told, I began to become amazed and mesmerized by this man, by Jesus, by his love, by his mercy, by his compassion, by his sense of justice, his lack of hypocrisy, by his acceptance of people who were on the extreme margins of society, and by his claim to love even me. I realized at the camp, sitting there, that my life was nothing like Jesus' life. In fact, I felt like I was the complete opposite. But the more I heard about him, the more I wanted him to shape my life, and the more I wanted a life that was pleasing to God. Because it seemed like the life that I longed for and the life that would bring me fulfillment and hope. I'm sure that experience, my experience, is a lot like many of yours' experiences. This is why you first came to Jesus, why you were attracted to Jesus in the first place. What Jesus is saying here in this beatitude is that to be filled, we need to continue to hunger and thirst for him in the way we first did when we first heard about Jesus, those times when we just sat there mesmerized by what we heard about him. Because when we do this, we will be filled. He will fill us even more with those things which characterize him. In the original language that this passage is written in, the two words that Jesus uses for hunger and thirst are actually continuous tense verbs. You know, verbs that end in ing. I tell myself that all the time. Therefore, what Jesus is literally saying here is, blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for they will be filled. And so what this indicates is that our hungering and thirsting don't end once we believe in Jesus. Once we believe that he's Lord, they don't just stop. They're meant to be this sort of permanent, ongoing function and desire in our life, because the hungering and thirsting lead you to continual filling and growth as a Christian. And so you see, when you're hungry and thirsting for a life that's pleasing to God, you'll be conformed more and more to the image of Christ, to the image of Jesus. And so you'll become also more attuned to God and what God's doing in the world. And with what your neighbor's needs, you'll see them more because Jesus sees those needs. And you'll have this desire, this growing desire to want to join God in what he's actually doing in the world. This is why we need to be hungering and thirsting. And so hungering and thirsting are desires that actually everyone here has this morning. You're actually hungering and thirsting right now. So Jesus is not telling you to generate hungering and thirsting yourself. You see, you already have those desires. You're actually hardwired for hungering and thirsting. Your issue, like my issue this morning, is that we're often tempted to be hungering and thirsting for a life that is pleasing to ourselves rather than a life that's pleasing to God. But we know that a life that just pleases ourselves doesn't actually lead to being filled and satisfied. That's the whole point. So in order to be hungering and thirsting for a life that's pleasing to God, you need to actually ask God to develop that appetite in you. And God will do this through the power of his Spirit. And so you can also, though, assist your appetite, an appetite booster. Not legalistically, but by seeking to know more about God and what God has accomplished for you through Jesus, through reading the Scripture, through reading the Bible, through spending time in prayer. These are the ways that we develop our appetite for God. And so prayer and reading the Bible are going to be your appetizers. When you read Scripture, you'll hear about God's character and grace and mercy and the length that He's gone to help you and us, all of us. And this will give you a hunger for Him. It will give you a greater hunger for Him. And so this is actually how you grow as a Christian. This is the secret of how you grow, isn't it? We know this. We put food in our bodies. We hunger. We put more food in our bodies. Physically, we grow. The same deal when we are Christians. This is how you grow as a Christian. In this way, hungering and thirsting for righteousness actually will continue on through your life and will only end on that great day when you are before Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth. But by hungering and thirsting for a life that's pleasing God, it doesn't just help you get filled and grow. It also does something else, you see. You see, Jesus is actually calling us together as a community to be hungering and thirsting for a world that pleases God. Not just individuals. We actually often read the Bible individualistically because that's our worldview now. But the Bible is not written in that sort of worldview. It's written more collectively. And so Jesus is actually calling us to together be hungering and thirsting for a world to be pleasing to God. And so Jesus wants to see more and more people experiencing His life and His character, and also for them to thirst and hunger and be filled as well. This makes hungering and thirsting for life, for a life that is pleasing to God, actually an essential part of joining God in His mission to the world. And so without it, without this hungering and thirsting, we can't be true partners with God. So let's think about how we can work together to develop each other's appetite for lives that are pleasing to God. Because as we live these lives, actually these lives, as we seek to please God, as we seek lives that are pleasing to God, as we live those lives in front of people in the community around us, our neighbours, our relatives, the people at school, at work, you see, this is a way that people will begin to encounter God, Jesus themselves in us. And this is a way they will also be filled. You see what an important role you have to play today? Friends, how is your appetite this morning? My hope and prayer is that you will become hungrier and thirstier this week and this year. That's my hope. Hungrier and thirstier. Not because I think that we can achieve sort of heaven on earth, but because Jesus calls us, His community, to be this foretaste of the kingdom of God. We are called to be also an appetizer for people, for them to taste and see before they commit, before they encounter that themselves. That's what we are, folks. We're an appetizer. You an appetizer? George is an appetizer. I tell you, George is an appetizer. Praise the Lord for George. Friends, as the band comes up to lead us in our final song, let's think about the ways. Let's think about ourselves right now. Think about the ways. What ways have you been trying to fill yourself this week? My prayer is that you will see those things for what they are, if they're not a life that's pleasing to the Lord. That you'll see them as empty promises, that sugary snacks that are really not going to do the job. Instead, friends, Jesus invites you today to develop your appetite for a life pleasing to God, as this will fill you and satisfy you. Jesus calls us to be thirsting and hungering for a life that is pleasing to God. Won't you do that today? Won't you begin that life-changing journey with Him of thirsting and hungering every day for a life that is pleasing to God. And experience, that's the experience being filled by God and growing and then continuing to feel thirsty and hungry and then being filled again and again. And as you grow in love and in likeness of Him, that's what Jesus is calling you to today. And my prayer and my hope is that that journey, if that hasn't started for you today, if you're not a follower of Jesus, then that journey will start for you today. I'd love to talk to you about that and encourage you how that can happen. But if you are already a follower of Jesus and you're feeling that you haven't had an appetite for these things, then I want to encourage you this morning not to leave this place without asking God to develop that appetite in you, to redevelop it, to get it going again, so that you can grow and develop and join God faithfully in His mission to the world. Thanks, Perry.